Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that we're not enough on our own. We need you. And our prayer today is that you would meet us here where we are. In whatever state we are in, whichever country, whichever place we are in, meet us, O God. Now we open up our hearts, speak to us through your word, and encourage us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Now I want to take a few moments and encourage you from God's word before we share in communion. And today will be a little different because we will share in communion and take some time together in prayer, and we will pray over different things. And that's why I asked you to be expectant, because God wants to meet you where you are at. Our theme this year, 2021, that God has given to us is arise and shine. And that's God's word. And let me tell you why we believe that word. We believe that word not because it's dependent on our abilities or dependent on our good plans or strategies. Yes, we thank God for those things. It's also not even dependent on the resources that God has blessed us with. The reason we believe that word, arise and shine, is because we believe in a God of promises. A God of promises. And so over the next number of weeks, we're going to be talking about this God of promises. And that's going to be our series title. So if you have your Bible, I want to read you a great portion of scripture in Numbers chapter 23 and verses 19 to 20. Here's what it says. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, verse 20, I received a command to bless. God has blessed and I cannot reverse it. Now, the person speaking here is a prophet called Balaam. I'll tell you a little bit about the story so you understand where this is coming from. There was a king of Moab, and his name was Balak. He was so afraid when the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land, and he saw them and he was terrified. He had heard about how God had defeated various enemies on behalf of Israel. And so he was so shaken, and he thought the only way he would defeat the children of Israel is to invite Balaam. He knew about Balaam, a prophet, and so he wanted to ask Balaam to curse the children of Israel. That's what he wanted to do. And what he did was to offer gifts, offer money. You know, we see today some kings, leaders, who try to offer money to men of God to say the things that they like. It's not a new thing. It was happening right here. Balak wanted to bribe a prophet to speak against the children of Israel. And interestingly, Balaam first resisted, but later on, he went to King Balak. And so God gave him a message, and God told Balaam, only say what I have told you. And so Balaam comes from meeting with God, and he tells Balak these words. God is not a man that he should lie, or he's a son of man, or he should change his mind. And he says to him, when God promises, he will perform what he has said. So he said, hey, listen, I've received a command to bless, and God has blessed. I cannot reverse it. In other words, Balaam was saying, I cannot curse what God has already blessed and promised to bless. He was saying, this God is a God of promises. And I want to assure you, my friends, it does not matter what people say, or even men of God, or what the news says and the trends say, nobody can stop or curse what God has already blessed. He's a God of promises. Now, This story brings out one key truth that I would like you to remember and never to forget. Here's the truth Balaam is bringing in from God's word. God is not a man. Take a moment and think about it. God is not a human being. Because sometimes when we relate with God, we think about him like a human being. And Balaam said, no, God is not a man. You see, Balak was used to getting his way by bribing people, and he was doing all those kinds of things. And he thought he would do the same for God so he could change God's mind. But God, my friends, listen, he is not a man. This God of promises is not like a human being. And what are the implications of that truth? There are three things that this implies. Number one, because this God of promises is not a man, here's something you need to know. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. God is not like some people who, when they begin to speak, you just know they're not telling the truth. He's not like some politicians who give empty promises for the sake of getting votes. No, God is not like that. He never makes empty promises. God is not a man, so he cannot lie. You can count on his promises. In fact, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, in him there is no darkness at all. God is truth. He is not a man that he should lie. But the second implication of this great truth of the God of promises not being man is that God does not change his mind. That's what the scripture says. Human beings, we often change our minds. And so it makes it hard for us to trust human beings, but not God. When situations and circumstances change, we also change as human beings. Maybe we think we want to do something and we even promise. But when things change, like we have experienced so much change, then we begin to backtrack on some of those promises. That's not the same with God. He does not change his mind regardless of the circumstances around us. He's not a man. This God of promises is a promise keeper. He's a covenant-keeping God. I think of the story of Abraham in the Bible. God says to him, hey, Abraham, leave your people. Go to a place I'll show you. And there I'm going to bless you, make you a great nation, and then he make your name great, and through you the nations will be blessed. And it took years for Abraham and Sarah to conceive. But God had promised. In fact, along the way, what happened is they decided to shortcut God's promise, but still they messed up, but God never changed his mind. He still gave them the son he promised Isaac. And even later, God said, are you willing to give Isaac to be sacrificed? Because Abraham was convinced about this God of promises. He was willing to go and sacrifice his son. But the God of promises said, I'm going to give you a son, and didn't take him away. That's the God of promise. He and his word are one. Psalm 84, verse 34 says, I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. That's God. Heaven and earth may pass away, things may change, but his word will never. His promises can be counted on, because God of promise never changes his mind. The third implication and the final one, as I begin to land the plane and we set our hearts ready for communion, is that God has the power to fulfill his promises. He's not just a God of promises, he fulfills his promises. Whatever he says or promises, he can do. That's what Balaam said. Has he ever said and not acted? Has he promised and not fulfilled? This means God has the capacity, he has the capability to fulfill what he says. Ephesians 3:20 says God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or even imagine. That's God. He is able. Last week, I had the privilege of being in Gulu, visiting our campuses there in Laminadera. And it was a joy to be at our baby Watoto, and they showed me a little miracle baby who had been rescued, and he couldn't hit his milestones. He couldn't walk. The nannies prayed, and they told me the day he walked, the entire place went up in arms. They were praising God. Why? what science defined, God defied. That little baby is walking today. I had the privilege of officiating a wedding of one of the young men we rescued, who was one of the former child soldiers, and he's getting married to start a family. When I think of the Gulu story, I think of how God led us to plant Gulu. It was in a year that it wasn't on the budget, but God doesn't depend on the budget to fulfill his words. I remember clearly when God spoke to our founders, Gary and Marilyn, to plant Gulu. I witnessed with my eyes the God of promises fulfilling his word to plant Gulu. And these are just some of the stories. You can count on the God of promises. Just last year, God gave us a word and said, hey, if we put his kingdom first, that he would take care of all our needs. And we didn't know that the year was going to be different. We couldn't gather in church. Our children's choirs couldn't travel around. But even then, I can tell you the God of promises has taken care of all these other things. That's why we're still here today. You know, I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Man, I just wanted to encourage you with that word today. And we're going to teach more in the next number of weeks. But never forget, the reason we have confidence in God's promises is because of who he is. So through this series, we want you to fall in love with God's word. We want you to believe the promises of God. We want you to live every day trusting in the God of promises. And the result will be...
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.